You know, in the movie Miracle on Ice about the 1980 Winter Olympics, the United States men's hockey team, what you see Herb Brooks, the coach of the men's national team, trying to do is unite these different players. At that time, professional players couldn't play in the Olympics. It was all amateurs. And these are guys coming out of college and have a lot of pride in where they go to school and who they play for. And you see they're just a band of yahoos who can't figure it out. They can't work as a unit. And so Coach Brooks has to become the enemy to force them to bond together. And he's running them like dogs, skating up and down the ice again and again and again and again till they're throwing up. And he asks them during practice, "Who do you play for? Well, you tell me your name, where you're from, and who you play for." And without fail, all of them say, "I play for the University of Massachusetts. I play for Penn State. I play for Boston College. I play for blah, 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 blah." And they're not together. They lose a horrible exhibition match in a brutal fashion, and coach makes them run, sort of skate up and down the ice again and again and again and again until one of them blurts out his name. "I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I play for the United States of America." And that was enough. Like, coach says, "All right, go in the locker room, clean up." But there was this bonding moment that all of a sudden it clicked. Like, we're all been playing for ourselves, but I'm called to play for something way bigger than myself. We come from different backgrounds, different families. We don't really know each other, and yet we're striving for the same goal. We are on the same team. This is what happens at Pentecost, that God brings all of these disparate members of the world to come together, not into one team, but into one family, to call upon God as Father. You know, when the Romans were being persecuted after Nero's fire in Rome, the Romans would make up all these excuses why we're killing the Christians, and one of them was incest, that they were persecuting the Christians because they were marrying their brothers and sisters. That so much so, the Christians loved each other, that they treated each other as brothers and sisters, and that they would marry as husband and wife. They weren't biologically brother and sister, but they called each other brother and sister, like we hear in all of the letters of St. Paul. Dear brothers and sisters, that we belong to this one family. As Paul heard, we heard in the second reading, you've been called into one family, into one body, into one Christ, that you are the members of Christ's body, and he is the head. And this all happens with the sending of the Holy Spirit. Some context for Pentecost. You go back all the way to Genesis, and this small tribe gets together, and they say, "Look how awesome we are. Let's build a tower to show our greatness. And so they get together to build this tower towards the heavens, really exalting themselves. And God looks upon his people and he says, "This is too much. In their pride, I'm going to confuse them and create diverse speech so they can't speak to each other. They can't accomplish this feat, exalting themselves and ignoring me." And so God changes their language, scatters them to the far winds of the earth. And that tower we call is Babel, that they do that. Babies babble. That's the same word. Like, babies babble in the same way that God scattered the language of the people of old. But what we see is on Pentecost Sunday is the reversal of Babel, that all these people are gathered in Jerusalem 50 days after the resurrection. In the Old Testament, the Passover meal was celebrated, and then 50 days after that, they would remember the time that God revealed himself on Mount Sinai, giving them the law to Moses. And it was that time that the Holy Spirit came upon the whole community in a pillar of fire, showing his divine power. And so the Jews would gather in Jerusalem for Passover, as Jesus was, the night of the Last Supper. And then 50 days after that, Pentecost, penta meaning 50, Pentecost, they would get and celebrate this feast of the first fruits of the spring. That we're going to offer these things in the temple towards the Lord. Whatever has been produced in our harvest so far, we're going to offer it to God. And it's 50 days after Jesus rises from the grave that he had promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And it's there in the midst of Jerusalem that you have all these different people from different backgrounds in different parts. And the Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles there at Pentecost, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the apostles. And they go out and they start preaching. And everybody, although they don't speak Greek or Aramaic, whatever it was that they were speaking at the time, everyone understood the apostles in their own language. That at one time God had scattered the nations of the world by confusing their language, and it's here and now that he unifies the nations of the world so that they can understand not just science or not just anything, but for the proclamation of Jesus Christ as Messiah and as God. This promise of the Holy Spirit creates one family so that we can be brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we say this prayer, we sung it for the responsorial psalm, Lord, send out your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. That we need renewal, because so many of our relationships can be exhausting. The work can be so hard that sin makes us old, and we need to be made new. I don't just need cosmetic surgery. I don't just need more facial things. It's like I need to be made new in spirit, so that the freshness of my smile, the radiance of my holiness comes out from within, that I need a deep renewal of spirit to a place that I can't even access, but that the Holy Spirit can get to. And so the prayer for a Christian today is those three simple words, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and renew the face of the earth and begin with me, that the renewal always has to begin with me. That I can't point out to all the world and say, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. You might be right. What can you do about it? You can start with your own heart. Wherever there's unforgiveness, wherever there's these abundant temptations, wherever there's bitterness or resentment or anger, the frustrations of daily life, in your marriages, to ask for a renewal of spirit. In my own priesthood, I'm asking for a renewal of spirit to keep showing up and keep being faithful. But it's in this season especially, as we go forward after Pentecost, this is when the Acts of the Apostles really picks up. And the Acts of the Apostles isn't finished. Like, we're still called to bring Christ's saving presence into every workroom, into every gas station, into every place that you and I are called. We pray that simple prayer, come Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth, and begin with me. God, our Heavenly Father, pours out Jesus' abundant graces through the sacraments, but he does so through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come so close to me that he can do the little surgeries on my heart, the little massagings of my heart so that I may not grow old or hard-hearted, but that I would have a beating heart, an alive heart, a heart of flesh for love of God. Anything that's old or decrepit in me needs to go away so that we can be renewed. Jesus gives his Holy Spirit so not only we can be part of his team, but that we can belong to his family. And we call upon God as Father. Come, Holy Spirit.